Let's go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Let's do it. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Coming to you live. Oh, it's that time. It's Empowerment Hour. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome. Coming to you live. And in color. It's Empowerment Saturday. Today is the State of the Black Union. What we doing, y'all? We're gonna rock and top. Let's go. Come on, Luther. That's what we got. Ain't no better love. No better love. There is no better love than for self and kind. Would you say it with me, please, people? There is no better love than for self and kind. That's all the brothers saying. It's your brother Marvin Rome trying to tell you love yourself and your people and your kind. Who else gonna do it? That is the question. Who else is going to do it? Who's going to love you like your own people? There is no better love than for yourself. There is no better love for your kind. Brothers, I'm telling you, there is no better love than for your sisters. And sisters, there is no better love than for your brothers. We got to do it. We got a good show coming up today. I'm telling you, it's the State of the Black Union. You need to call your friends on this one. But we're going to talk about what we need to talk about. And again, we have to understand the process, right? You're in the process. If you're in America and you're a person of color, you probably should listen to this show no matter what, you know, where you come from. Because ultimately, we all came from one place. And the source is always going to be the same. You're going to be a source of direction through colonization or through enslavement. You take your choice, but the result is going to be the same. But the idea with this show is, again, it's African-American empowerment. But if you people of color, you win. So let's go to the mission of the National African-American Empowerment Association. It's the NAAEA, and the mission is simple. It's five pillars, five components. You want to listen. The mission of the National African-American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African-American communities are met, or the needs of people of color, but specifically African Americans, and I'll tell you why. Because of enslavement. That's why I got to stop right there. Because of the enslavement and the mistreatment and the torture and the dysfunction, right, and the trauma and the poverty and all the rules and regulations that's been created for us in this country to keep us down and back, we need to organize, right? Because we know all you got to do is be in a family, and you'll know the dysfunction. Generations of it, right? All the way back until we came, well, before we were crossed the waters, but you know what I'm saying. We need to meet the needs of our communities to heal. I'm talking about healing. I'm not even talking about any other race, right? I'm talking about healing ourselves. Who's doing that, right? Because we could talk all day, but what are we going to do about changing and developing programs and services that educate, inspire, let me say it again, educate, inspire, motivate, and empower our communities to become better, right? We're talking about developing better people. What's wrong with that? There's no better love than for self and kind. Don't you want your babies to be successful out here in this world? I do. I want mine to be able to compete, because when they walk up to the starting line and when it's time to run, I want mine to run confidently. Don't you? Don't you want yours to be well-equipped and well-educated and well-supported and well-informed on how to navigate this system through politics? You got to have a political agenda wherever you live in this country if you understand what a union does and why and how it's created and the tenets of that, right? That's why we talk about the tenets of the NAAEA. I know y'all want to blow past this part, but this is the part you need to check out. Right? You need to have a political agenda. You need to be a part of the political process where you live. You need representation. Right? You need to be a part of the process to know what's going on where you live at. And here's the deal. That is locally, that is in the state that you live in, and that is nationally. See, typically what I know to be true is that we vote in the national elections, and that's about it for the most part. Many of us. Again, you got to just based on education level, blah, 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 blah. But today what I'm saying is I want you to think about how you can begin to participate fully in the process, right? Get into the economic process, right? Because you understand how money can drive a home. All with money, you can do so much for your kids. You put them in the best schools. right? With money, you can have stability. You can make maintenance and repairs to your homes or whatever, ride in a nice car or make the repairs, whatever you need to do. With money, you can do so much, and it don't make you a bad person. You're already a bad person. Does money make you more of who you are? Economics, right? You got to have an economic plan, an economic agenda. Thank y'all for joining today. You got to have an economic agenda in the land of milk and honey, right? Particularly if you're a person of color. You have to have an athletic agenda. That's the A. That's the big A in peace, P-E-A-C-E. The A is athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. You got to have a health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition plan. You got to take care of your body. You working out? Are you eating right? I leave that junk alone. Are you on medications? These are the questions you got to ask yourself, right? Don't be mad with me for just pointing it out. If you are on medications, do something about it, right? And a lot of people say, hey, run in my family, but most of the people do the same things. It will run if everybody's doing the same stuff, right? Had the same habits and the same ways and predisposed to the same things. You got to understand how things work. Anyway, get you a mental health plan where you're taking care of your mental, physical, and emotional health. Take care of yourself. You got to love your mind. You got to take care of your body. You got to do those things that are going to take care of you because that's what it's all about. It's really all about you. You're going to have to be the one to take care of your mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. C is culture. You got to have relevant cultural programs that ground our young people. And I'm telling you, if you continue, I'm saying you, right? If you continue to allow this society to have access to your young people, they're going to be all over the place. Trust me, ain't nothing wrong with integrating, but you better know what you're integrating into and how that's going to influence your babies or how that's going to influence your next generation. I'm just telling you, right? And education is the E in the peace program and process. You got to have a good education, right? And it's just not going to college or not finishing high school. You got to have a well-rounded education in all these areas to participate, to enlighten and educate yourself. That's what you got to do because guess what? It's got to be you to understand what it is that we're doing. It's you, right? Collectively, we could do so much together. We could be well-informed. We could change the world. We really can if we work together. Here's Stan Macklin. Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Okay, so we need institutions that define our own reality. How many of us work for our own corporations, right? And how many of those corporations are, like, really feeding our young people that are coming out of these PWIs and HBCUs or just going into the workforce with work, right? How can we build our community where we can guarantee work for our citizens, our communities, where we know we're going to be fully employed? Who's thinking like that? And that we can begin to have corporations. I ain't talking about just no mom and pops. I'm talking about corporations, national, international corporations, where we're doing business around the world. Stan, talk to us.
But we must unify.
What we got to do, brother?
And let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
Stan said you better stop trying to get in and fit in, right? And it's so true. When will you become your authentic self? Stop hiding behind trying to be like somebody else and be your best self. Don't worry about the color of your skin. It's the content of your character. Thank you, Dr. King, for that. Can we develop and generate really good people? It's about time for somebody to turn this off right now because you're saying, oh, man, I don't want to hear that. But guess what? You got to develop yourself. You got to develop your children. You got to prepare for the next generation. You got to educate. That's what's happening. You got to do it, right? And we have to do that together. Let's start having those critical conversations in our communities to talk about how we will improve ourselves. It's African American. It's black empowerment. If black lives matter, then let's prove it. Not just marching in the street. Let's build institutions that define our own reality. We're going to Willie Lynch. Now here's Willie Lynch. You got to understand the system that's been put in place here in America for people of color. And to some degree, it still exists.
This speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the banks of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his methods to slave owners there. The term lynching is derived from his last name. Greetings, gentlemen. I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented, as our boat sails south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish. I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. And you're not only using valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit, you suffer occasional fires, your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not have to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 400 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among slaves, and I take these differences and I make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands.
I'll stop right there. Self-refueling, right? Distrust. The list of differences. The methods. So the two words that I want to focus on today in this segment is methods and discernment. You need to discern the methods of control that continue to be in place, that continue to have you see the world in a certain consciousness, a certain mentality, a certain frame of mind, a certain way of thinking. You gotta have to think about how you think about yourself and then how we think about others. And like Brother George says, peace, blessings to you, brother. Hope you come back soon. So we gotta have a collective consciousness, right? Just because all of us brown don't mean that we all on the same page. All I'm saying is let's preserve our peace and our communities. Let's preserve our families. Let's protect our babies. So we're going to talk about the state of the black union, but first I got to do my Kwanzaa segment. Here's what Kwanzaa is all about, right? It's an African-American holiday, but it's really for us, right? It has its roots in African tradition, but the key word we're going to use today would be focusing on Nia. Right? And Nia's purpose, to work collectively. What's wrong with that? To build communities. What's wrong with that? That will restore the greatness of African people. And the truth is all of us basically are African, are from African descent. We know that. But can we work collectively to build ourselves and build our families and build our communities? It's individual, right? Family and community. That's what it's all about, because when you got that, you got everything. When you got each other, you don't have nothing to worry about. If we can start working together, let's have purpose. Let's have a purpose to work together to build a better foundation, right? That's all I'm asking. That's the tenets of the NAAEA. That's Willie Lynch, and that's your Kwanzaa segment. Oh, it's time now. You know what time it is. We're going to the lines. This is how Marvin Rome crank it up. I'm going to crank it up with 9282 as always. He's going to kick it off for us today. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Come on. It's time. Going to the lines.
Bring it. What?
What you got today? Uh-huh, 9282. Welcome to the show.
How's it looking, brother?
Hey,
yeah,
brother.
How you doing, sir?
All right. We're
you
talking
doing,
about the state of the black
community.
You
doing all right? You doing all right?
I'm
yes,
doing
sir.
Good,
yes,
man.
Sir.
I'm excited.
Yes, sir. All right. I told you the other day this is a great topic that you picked, state of the black union. And I decided to do it justice. We got to make sure we understand what we're talking about when we say the state of the union. Okay. And when you look at the, you know, me, I want to look at the definition of words and see how the king defined his language, his words. Well, the definition of state in this case is mode or condition of being a state of readiness. In other words, what shape are you in? What condition are you in? You know, how
like
ready
that.
Are you? Where are you? That's what we're looking at. What's the mode? How are we as a, when you say, what is the condition of black folk, of the union, state of the union? Well, and the word union means an act or an instance of uniting or joining two or more things into one. Okay? Such as the growing together of severed parts, things that had been cut apart, torn apart, bringing those things back together. Okay, union or
like
something that is made, something that is made one. Okay, something formed by combining or coalition of parts or members, bringing it together. You know, being one. Okay, union. So, what's the condition state of the black union? Well, I hate it. Well, I'm gonna just say it like this here.
Oh, come on, brother.
There is no union.
Oh.
There's no black union. There's no union. We look at the definition of the word union. We are far from united as a people. Filled with self-hatred. We're not together as one. So what's the condition? If I had to describe the condition, if that's such a thing, of the black union, in hood language, but I'm not going to use hood language because I'm just going to say in a nice way, the condition of black folk with the black union is effed up.
He being nice today, y'all. Oh, you
it's
really being nice
up.
Today.
Yeah, if we really have
I'm
to say it, our condition is we effed up because we're not
he being
united
nice today,
as a
y'all.
People. We're killing ourselves as a people. You know, we're abusing our women. We're neglecting our children. We're not in a condition as men to properly raise our children to be black men, to put them in no union. We have no union. Every time we attempt to come together, there's no way we can unite that does not include white people.
Uh-oh.
No way. Every time we
here.
Talk about doing something for our people, we've got to involve white people. We got to get a 501(c)(3). We got to set up things, establish things. We got to get their permission, in other words, because if you got a 501(c), you can't eliminate white folk. They got to be a part of what you're doing to get this government money or to be able to write taxes. We are, you know what, we are one. Yeah, we are one, but we're not one with ourselves. We're one with America. We're one with white people. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, which means coming together as one. You cannot divide it. Indivisible means it's just one. you are united as one, and there's nothing that can divide you when you're indivisible. We couldn't be united in this country if we wanted to. White folks would not allow it. That's creating another nation. Why? What are we uniting to do? Become one. And if we become one, independent of white folks, that's another nation within a nation. And that's not going to happen because we pledge allegiance to the flag. One nation under God. One nation under God. Okay? And who's the God that we're under? The word God is defined as the supreme or ultimate reality, such as the being perfect in power, wisdom, goodness, who is worshipped as creator and ruler of the universe. Not that he is worshipped as the being, in other words, the man, perfect in power, wisdom, goodness, and who is worshipped as creator and ruler of the universe, the one that we pledge allegiance to, one nation under God, under the white man, indivisible. Cannot divide it, will not be divided. I won't let you divide it. To divide it would be to destroy it. So you cannot build what we're talking about, a black union, and check the state of, not in America, because it must be inclusive of white folks and include white folks, and that's the United States of America. You're not
in
one nation
right
here,
there,
yo.
Bro. I'm going to have to cut you right there. Right? I like it. Right, I know people not gonna agree with it, but I kind of understand what you're saying. I'm gonna wrap around and get back to you. Got some more people on the line, but
yes, sir.
I want to say this: the brother made some good points, right? What's the condition? What's your condition first, right? Because I'm gonna go with what I think a nation is, because I just gonna share, right? What's your condition? So we said, you know, the state of the black union, and right, he broke the union down really well. The condition of your union, right, amongst yourself first, right? Because you got to be united as an individual. So I'm going all the way down to the inward parts first and then work my way back out. Are you united individually within yourself? See, just because the covering is one thing, but the mindset and the temperament is another, right? That's the state of mind that you're in. And then what's the state of mind or the condition of your family, of your youth, of your marriage, of your relationships? Now, nation means family or people. What's the state of the nation? What's the state of your family? What's the state of your community? How is it functioning? Is it functioning well? Those are the questions we have to ask, right? So as we look at ourselves, right, the state of the black union, in order to form a more perfect union, it has to be complete. We're unfinished. We need to be fully formed, right? We need to be informed, and that's where the education piece come in at the NAEA. We've got to be certain about where we're going, right? And we got to be able to do these things. We have to now evolve to mature, right? We got to mature. And we'll keep on talking about this, but we have to be able to get to the points where we understand what it takes to manage ourselves in order to reclaim our space. Like Brother Stan said, not to get in to fit in no more. But your union starts with you. The work starts with you. Before we can get anything else together, let's get yourself together first, individually, and then let's continue to move out. I'm going back to the lines. Guess what? I'm going to 4756. Man. You just jump right in there. 4756, you go cranking it up. It's your turn. Come on. How would you bring it?
Bring it! What?
We ride here.
Uh-huh.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
Yeah, greetings, this is Brother Warren, host
Brother
of New Orleans Week Up. Yeah.
What's up, brother?
And what I would like to vent briefly is that I am disgusted at what appears to be the control of the black freedom movement by the LGBTQ industrial complex and its overlapping partners in crime, the feminist Me Too movement. It appears that all of the black journalists, authors of books against racism, some of those with YouTube channels for black news, are articulating the same talking points that the racist white gay community articulate. Why don't the black gays create their own alphabet group? I've done it for them. I call it the BGLQA, Black Gays and Lesbian Queers of America. You see, because this response to Bill Cosby being released, a lot of black people are angry with Bill Cosby and don't realize that because Bill Cosby is a black male with money, there's a special venom against him. And many people are being hypocritical because of what he allegedly did to women, but yet they don't articulate that same venom to white people like Weinstein and all of these people. And when you look at the music industry and you look at the image of black women that are promoted in all of these corporate venues, these same people who are mad with Bill Cosby are to show the same consistency and venom towards the heads of those corporations that sexualize black women, even in pornography. But what it is, black people are being directed and led by another people to come into their own community and destroy it. So it's like some black people are being given a sledgehammer. You remember during the George Floyd riots across the country, black people said they saw bricks laid out in strategic ways for them to pick up and throw, but they refused to do it. Well, this is what I see with the LGBT. This is what I see with the LGBTQ industrial complex. They're giving black people bricks to throw at their own community. Okay, and it is sad that all of these mainstream black spokespersons and organizations are under the total control of another group of racist whites called LGBTQ and their overlapping partners in crime, the Me Too movement. And I think many black men are sick of it. They're speaking out. And I want to issue a challenge to those black people who identify with the LGBTQ community and split from it and create your own advocacy group and challenge the white racist gaze and then analyze your community to be, because what many of you are doing, you're being used by one racist group to come in and destroy your own group and to lynch your men and to mask and to help participate and the lynching and the emasculation of your men by building a platform and putting the nooses together. And it seems like too many of us are all too happy to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Warren. Woo-wee. Warren is on fire today. This is what I'm going to say. The challenge has been issued. Thank you, Brother Warren. Brother Warren just issued a challenge. I think he said BGLQA, right, of America. I want you to think for yourself. But remember, I started out saying there was some key words today, methods and discernment, right? You got to discern the methods being used, right, for your compliance. I'm just saying discern them. Think for yourself. That's what I'm saying. But also, coupled with that, you need to mature. You have to have mature thinking, right? So I'm going to take you back for a minute, right? In the civil rights movement, we made progress, but that progress was watered down and turned to some other movements that our children, because that's how I talked about before, our children, are not benefiting from. That's all I'm going to say on that. Brother Warren has issued, again, his challenge, 845-277-9250. If you got something that you want to say, 845, guest call-in number, 277-9250, or you could just pop up and say, Marvin, I want to talk. Or you can continue to listen. It's up to you, but take action at some point. Methods, discernment, and mature. We have to mature. I'm going over to 8128. Here we go. Got to bring it, brother. Brother Warren is up. We got two in a row. Here we go. Where the sisters at? Come on, sisters.
Bring it!
What you got today, brother? Welcome to the show.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine.
Yes, I'm listening to the brothers, and I hear them all saying the same thing, but I think that I need to say it from a foundational situation. Right? All we know as black people in this country is about white people. That's all we know about. Right? I don't think that there is that many, I mean, I could be wrong. I'm talking about the ones who live in everyday life that can name five African countries, the language they speak, the products they produce, or even where they are on the map. But I bet you can name five European countries. One of the things that we seem to neglect to want to do is to let go of the programming that we've been so meticulously being made a part of. We know about Eurocentric culture. We do not know about Afrocentric culture. We don't know anything about ourselves. And the only way that we could start to accept ourselves is to accept the fact that we must stop thinking according to Eurocentric thought processes. We must start to learn about us.
I like that.
To be able to become engrossed in who we are. That's the only way that we can let go of what they have given us since we've been here and what we have accepted and we have tried to get in to fit in and to try to identify with and have tried to assimilate with something that is not about us and never will be because it's not about us. It's about them. How can you be yourself if you are trying to be someone else in your mind, in your thoughts, in your desires, in your goals, in everything that you see yourself as is based on what someone else has told you that does not look like you. You got
How about
to know
that?
Who you are. And you cannot know who you are until you accept that you have to let go of the thinking and the process for your thinking that was given to you by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you think is according to what someone else told you to think like. That don't look like you. And don't care nothing about you.
All
unless
right.
you're doing something for them. That's number one. We must unlearn and learn about us. Unlearn what we have been given and learn about who we are. They're not going to do that for you. Your thinking is according to someone else's dictate. Once you can really grasp reality of that thought, the process could begin. You have to know that you don't know anything but what someone else told you. And start telling yourself about yourself by learning where you come from, learning the countries that you come from. Learn about your culture. Learn about a continent that can fit three or four of these countries into that you know nothing about. And they don't want you to know nothing about. So it is your job to find out about you. Because they ain't going to tell you nothing but about them. Stop thinking like someone who is not about you. Realize that your thinking is based on them, not you. And start to change that. You cannot unify.
I like that.
If you're trying to unify according to what someone else told you that means, you have to start telling yourself. Starting with realizing that your thinking is not your own. You were given it. You did not decide one thought that you had except to break free from it. Once you decide that that is the most original thought you could ever have, is breaking free from this Eurocentric culture and thought processes that you've been trained and subconsciously implanted in your mind, and start to break free from that, that's when you have a chance. You're going to have a chance if you're thinking like what they want you to think like. You did not give it to yourself.
True.
And that's just the beginning. Unlearn and relearn who you are.
All right. All right, brother. I'm going to have to wrap. I thank you. Powerful, powerful, powerful statements. The brother said you need to know yourself. Accept your own. Unlearn what you've been given. You're going to have to make some decisions about your actions going forward. But most importantly, it's your thoughts, right? Who's directing your thoughts? Because a lot of us think, I'm thinking for myself, but a lot of you have been programmed. That's why you like all that fast food and stuff. I ain't knocking you, but I'm saying it's killing a lot of us. Just the truth. Don't blame the messenger. Don't kill the messenger, people. All right. So all I'm saying today is you got to mature as people of color. You got to make some strategic, critical decisions for your future, your political future, your economic future, your financial future, the future of your health and your well-being, your mental health, your physical health, the state of your family. That's the state of the union. You're going to have to get into alignment to establish how justice is going to be served in our country. If it will be, will it be equitable, right? Will it be based on the qualifications that each individual have, or the color of their skin, or who their uncle or cousin is? You know how some people got family members that got banks and other people don't, that they can get money and you don't. You know how that works, right? Resources. It's about resources. It's who you know. And if you don't know nobody with no cash flow, you're going to be struggling. So think about people who don't have resources, who don't have access to wealth. How they going to pull themselves up from their bootstraps and they don't have boots or straps? Ha, huh, how about that? Let's think about that for a minute. I'm going back to the lines now. I'm going to 0673. No, yep, 0673. If you ready, I'm going to try you. And then I'm going to go to 1450. 0673, I'm coming up. I'm going to bring you in right. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, bro, I just got on, so I have to listen to some more, see what the subject is today.
All right, well, I'm glad you joined us. It's the state of the Black Union, right? Mm. It's the state of our communities, and we're talking about what that is. We're talking about the, in order to form a more perfect union, what that takes. And I'll come back to you, though. But while I am sharing with you, I'm going to go to the next caller, but I'll come back to you. Thank you, brother. So what we're talking about here, to catch you up, is the state of the Black Union, what it means in order to form a more perfect union, and how can we form that perfect union, right? How can we secure domestic tranquility for our families to make sure everything is running smoothly in our homes and our communities? How can we provide for a common defense where we are protected as citizens? Right? Not only from the police, but from ourselves at some point, right? So you don't have to go outside and be afraid where you live, or because you see a police car pull you over, you have an anxiety attack. You know what I mean, right? To promote the general welfare, and most importantly, to secure the blessings of liberty, right? How do we do that, right? How do we preserve the rights and the freedoms of our communities, and that our children, I'm going to keep talking about children, our babies born and the ones who are yet to be born, can come into this planet and not have to worry about persecution and trauma and worry, but have an equal opportunity to have the best lives that they can be. That's all I'm asking. What do we need to do that, right? And how much do we need to do right now to get that where it needs to be? All right, I'm going over back to 9282, and then I'm going to go back down to 0673, if you don't mind. So let me turn this back over. for a second. Let me get my board right, and then I'm going back to 0673 after I go to 9282. My board is all over the place, y'all. Sometimes it's like that. Here we go. I'm going back to 9282. Mm-hmm. Are you there?
Yes, sir, my brother. And I'm going to begin by repeating something I said last week. Falling in love with Jesus or myself was the best thing I've ever done. Okay? The state of the union, the black union, is we're in hell. Because if we're not united, we're in hell as a people, performing all kinds of hellish acts and activities. Look at all the hell we perform on ourselves in our community. As I agree with what the brother was saying earlier. You know, we need to acknowledge that we've been brainwashed. You know, totally brainwashed, totally controlled. You know, and we need to stop looking for good in the bullshit. See, we want to find good in this hell or in this bullshit that we're in. We just think it's good up in it. We're looking for good up in the bullshit instead of seeing it for what it really is. You know, stop looking for it. Stop trying to change the bullshit and acknowledge what it is. It's just that. It's bullshit. We've been conditioned to act as the way we act, brother. All of us. Like I told you before, I grew up hating my father because he wasn't in my life earlier in my life. But I still looked for him and made sure I tried to put him in my life, which eventually I did. You know, but it took me realizing, trying to understand the hell that he was in, that we all were in, where I got appreciation for my father. Because I said, how am I going to hate my father and not hate myself? As Malcolm said, how you going to be on a fruit of the tree and hate the roots of the tree and not hate yourself? You know, falling in love with Jesus, myself, was the best thing I've ever done. And I learned to understand not only my father, but all black men, all black people, and what was going on in the hellish communities we were raised in or were reared in. You know, it's all conditioned. It's all programmed. We're functioning exactly the way slavery produced us to function. Like I said before, 1863, when they said, okay, y'all free now, it wasn't freedom. It was now, y'all, we now have y'all prepared to go work in our society without the chains and the shackles anymore because we have the mind. Totally. You've been brainwashed. You're totally under our control. Because if we weren't, when they said, okay, you're free to go, we would have left here. Ain't no way in the hell you would have stayed here after 300 and some odd years of being just totally abused. No damn way you stay if you free at that point. Not only did we stay, we want to get all up in it. All up in the bullshit, like Stan said. Get in to fit in, you know? That's our problem. We have to acknowledge what happened to us. Stop trying to change or find goodness in the bullshit. Ain't no goodness in it. It's all an illusion. They make you think there's some goodness in it. And if you just be patient, just be patient and give some time. In time, things will change. Hell, in time, I'm going to die. That's the change you're talking about? My death. In time, things going to change. So just be patient and put up with the bullshit until either it change or you die, whichever one comes first. And in our case, it's death. Ain't no change in it. To the world we're waiting on, we've got to create. We have to make it. State of the Union, make your own world. We got to come together as a people, falling in love with Jesus. Myself was the best thing I've ever done. We need to embrace that and understand what that means and love yourself. We say it every week, brother, on this show. Love yourself and your kind. Be the one. If nobody else is doing it, you do it. Try it. You might like it, as they say. You know? Don't tell me, well, black folk ain't going to never do this. We ain't going to never come together. We're going to never raise the money. We can't do it. Shut up. You do it.
Mm.
That's an excuse. Black folk won't do it. You black, aren't you? Well, you do it. You take the lead. You show me. You show the world. You show yourself. You said black folks may not do it, but I'm one black person that's going to do it. What you going to do, brother? Brother, I'm going to die if I have to so we can be truly free. I'm going to give my last dollar if I have to so we can come together as a people and do something. You know? I'll sell my home. I'll move out. I'll be homeless if it's me. We as a people going to do something, going to improve and come together as a people. If they told me you take this bullet today and black folk will be free tomorrow, I'll take the bullet today.
Everybody ain't doing
either
that.
One.
I'm telling you that right now.
That's our problem. That's our problem. You know, we talk a good game.
Mm-hmm.
But
everybody ain't taking no bullet for the people. All right, brother.
All right, brother. Peace.
Peace. I'm come back to you before we wrap up. Man, the brother is committed. But all I'm saying is I don't know if some of our folks out there are ready to take a bullet for nobody. That's just how I see it. I could be wrong. But a lot of our people, again, I'm going back to methods. What are your methods? What are your strategies? Do you have discernment? And are you mature enough to make some good, responsible decisions as an adult? As an adult person of color, might I add. Right? Are you there in your mind and in your body, ready to make the decisions that's going to change your community, that will change your lifestyle, that will change your mindset, that will prepare our young people for the future. If our women are having babies, they need to have daddies and real competent fathers, right? Not just nobody that's laying down seed. And if the sisters of y'all having babies, you better educate them and prepare them with all your might. But you got to get yourself together just like the brothers got to get themselves together. The brother made a great point a few weeks back. Who are these babies being delivered to and the mindset and the mentality of the parents, right? Who are you bringing into the world these kids to? The attitude, the ways, the disposition, the hurt, the pain, the trauma, frustration, anxiety, the poverty, right? Or the just plain, long, simple mismanagement, right? All that's going on. All we looking for is some well-rounded, good, down-home, down-to-earth, conscious people who are willing to love themselves unconditionally. I ain't asking you to take a bullet. All I'm asking you to do is take a mental break to work on developing yourself. I'm going back now to 0673 and see what you got to say. How about that? Man, I love this show. 0673. It's your turn.
You don't even really have a concrete definition for the word love. They have like some of this feeling that you feel, you know. But a good definition for love is unselfish giving, seeking nothing in return. And we don't do that among each other, right? We work with you if you're a Muslim or if you're a Christian, you know. We listen to Michael's message, right? He said, put your religion in the closet. He didn't mean ignore your religion. His religion was something that was very special to him, right? But we come together as a people, right? We shouldn't let certain things like that define us, you know. So if you practice true unity, if somebody comes to me for a job, I'm not going to say, well, what's your political persuasion? What's your economic affiliation? What is your religion? See, these are barriers that come between us, right? If love is unselfish, given seeking nothing in return, you see another African, another brother or sister across the road, right? You can bring them in. You can teach them what you know. And the first thing you form a unit need to start in the family. And that's one reason why we don't have generational wealth.
Right.
I took a marketing course one time. They said when a person is broke, a rich person is broke, right? They don't mean he got down to where we are. Like, they said Donald Trump today was broke. They don't mean he got down to where we are. They just mentioned instead of him $5-6 billion, right? He may be $1 billion now. Or a person with 3 or 4 million might be 1 million now. They, when they say they're broke, they don't mean they got down the way you are, right? Because they got generational wealth. If one of the Kennedys dies, so what? There's plenty of Kennedys. If one of the Bush dies, so what? There's plenty of Bushes, right? But if Michael Jordan dies, that's it. There's no generational wealth there. If I remember one time Tony Dorsett, I think it was Dorsett, kicked out of the NFL and was trying to get back in. I think it was Dorsett. And if they had got him back in, allowed him to get back in, that would have been it. Because he had no uncles and cousins to go through, right? So we need to start in our immediate family, right, have generational wealth. Now, before the Europeans start educating us, we were thinking on the right path. But I was my 20s, right? I could have got life insurance very cheaply, like $10. I could have got like $500,000. You hear a commercial on TV today, $250,000 with life insurance. What was that, $250,000, right? You could have got that for like $25 a month. That's if you're healthy. If you make the phone call, and I've done it. I said, well, you said it was $25 a month, right? Oh, yeah, that was, you know, if you ain't got no problems at all, if you are healthy. Now I'm 66 now, and so naturally when I make that same phone call, it's the way it's going to be $275 a month. $275 a month, yes. Well, see, when I was young, and I was 20 years old, I was thinking that I didn't call it generational wealth, but I'm thinking that when I leave, right, this earth, I can pass some 3 or 4 generations down the road. And the person who was telling me about insurance said, no, just think about yourself. He says, oh, he said, are you married? I said, I'm not married. You have children? You have children? Just think about yourself. And right when I was thinking, right, by letting him think, change my thinking. And I could have got insurance then that if I transition the next 20, 30, 40 years, right, my grandchildren, you know, great-great-grandchildren, would be straight. But I didn't think about that, you know. So a lot of times we don't think about our immediate family. So it had to start with your immediate family. And I had to use our people for example. But look at Koreans and all the people who come to this country, right? They put the money in their family first. They go out and get the nice car. They go out and get the nice house. They put the money in the family first. But we don't do that. We got 5 siblings. And each one makes $20,000. That's $100,000. Instead of us putting our money together as a people, right, we're like let's use Jackson 5, for example, right? That's Michael's money. That's Janet's money. That's Tito's money. That's Marvin's money. I think Tito might be thinking a little different rest of them, right? But let's say if they put all their money together, you could establish a business. How much you could have bought by doing that? But we're not thinking like that. We're thinking individual. We're not thinking collective. It has to start with our immediate family. And another thing, too, we can't let these religions divide us. You can't let, because in our immediate family, you may have a brother or sister who became a Muslim after 20 or 30 years of knowing them. Or brother and sister in your immediate family who became a Jehovah's Witness after many years of knowing her. But you don't divorce yourself from that person because that person is biologically your sister and biologically your brother. Then why, as a nation, when I see another sister or another brother that may be of a different religious persuasion, right, I want to shun her. And that's why I have a problem now because I've graduated, I would say, in my spiritual development. Where I was born just a Christian, now I say, if you're a Christian, be a good Christian. You're a Muslim, be a good Muslim. You're a Jew, be a good Jew, right? Or I know, like Malcolm said, you're African. He said, because when a cop put that billy stick upside your head, he's not asking what your religion is. He's not asking what your political persuasion is. He just see one thing, another African. So in order for us to practice true unity, we got to understand that love is unselfish giving, seeking something in return. So Marvin comes to me and says, Brother Kevalon, I got this young man here, 12, 13 years old, and you got some competent skills. Can you teach him competent skills? And I said, well, yeah, I'll teach him if he come to church with me. But that brother might not be a Christian. He might be a Muslim. He might want to go to mosque. He might not be a Jew. I mean, whatever, you know what I mean? My thing is, my main goal is to teach that brother the skills I know. Now, I might want to drop some African knowledge on him, right? I remember Barbara Streisand, Barbara Sizemore said, and Barbara Streisand was a powerful African sister, right? She impressed.
Got that right.
She says, get African knowledge. Get African shit. But she says, a rebel family. She said, study African history. Study African culture. But if you don't know no African history, no African culture, make sure that son, that child, and that daughter knows reading, writing, and arithmetic. She won't put the African. She said, make sure they got the African culture. So when a person comes to my house, right, yeah, I want to know African culture. I want to know everything I know, right? But I'll make sure he had the basics first. Because Marvin, what would you read if you couldn't read? If you couldn't read, Marvin, you would be on this phone call talking to her.
Got that
you
right.
Wouldn't be able to pick up miseducation of a Negro. You would be able to pick up the chance image of psychological slavery. So you make sure that person got the basics. But Marvin said, well, I'm only going to teach this child, young Kevlon, if he's the same religion as I am. Well, that's division. And that's not love. And that's not unselfish giving. That's not a message that Jesus taught. That's not a message that Muhammad taught. That's not a message that Buddha taught. Nobody taught that, right? So really, people that ain't following the teachers. People are following. And I remember some of I get a long way. I'm going to cut it off now because I don't get a long way. I don't take the whole program. But I hope I spark something that get people to further the conversation.
All right. Thank you, brother. I like that. Are you practicing what you preach? How about that?
Yeah.
I like that, brother. Thank you, Kevin. Here's a question. Brother said it. Are you the best Christian or Muslim, Hindu, or even atheist? How about that? That you could be. If you LBTGQ or what Brother Warren said, let me go back to my notes because I want to get that BGLQA on an African-American black color side. Are you the best person that you could be? You could be, and this is just me now, so don't blame it on nobody. You could be as gay as you want to be. Are you a good person? Are you a good person? Are you a good human being? Are you a good person? How are you living your life? How are you thinking? How are you treating your brothers and sisters and your family members? How are you treating the people that you work with? What kind of person are you? That's the question. Again, we're talking about methods. What are your methods of engagement? And are you discerning in your responses and your reaction? Are you a mature adult, a responsible person who can regulate and self-regulate themselves? State of the Black Union. Can we promote the general welfare? And that's guidelines for how we operate, how we treat each other, how we respect each other, how we teach, train, and develop one another. Will we do that? And can we become the best people that we can be? All right, I'm going one more time down and around. I'm going to finish the show today, if y'all don't mind, with 8128. I got 2 minutes. 8128, bringing you in. What you got, brother?
Well, brother, you know, everyone has really touched upon some really great points in terms of our unity. But I realize, too, is that we do have examples in the past of successful black communities, successful black individuals. We have successful scholars who have painstakingly researched our past. Okay, we are Africans in America. We are not African Americans. Okay, we're not included in this country as being part of it.
I like that.
Because we have not developed ourselves. We do have examples. I've heard one of our scholars say that how do you expect your child to be loyal to you when you send them to an institution like public school that will teach him how to be loyal to someone else? It does not. We do have schools that teach our children about ourselves, about who we are. As a matter of fact, I think one scholar said that we can educate our children online and have a totally well-rounded education that is Afrocentric.
All right.
Online.
That's all I can do today, brother. I got to cut you right there. Yeah. I love your comments. Thank you so much. I got to wrap it up, though. Thank you for listening. And Palace Queen, I know you out there. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you all for calling in, and thank you for joining the conversation. We're going to have to do the work or continue to work on ourselves. Be the example. Become a mature, responsible person. person of color. Educate the next generation. Set the example. Become the example. And become the best person that you can be today and every day.
To this glorious world that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest.
Peace and quietness you're sure to find.
And the world will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage.